broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
They asked me to resign, and in fact, they harassed me.
It was heartbreaking, not only to see Lindsay in that position, but my daughter Allie took it quite.
You need to say a lot to assuage my
insurrection. I'm surprised, and at the same time, happy to have a new business.
You're stupid.
Say that again, Joy. I didn't hear you.
You're stupid.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. I'm going to do it, okay?
Yeah, do it on a donkey.
Phil Hendry along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here in our open news hour. I'm going to do your donkey story. God.
Yeah, but you didn't see it, man.
I see the picture. There's a donkey with a parachute.
How come you don't like that, man?
I don't know, man. I don't find that funny. You guys think it's hysterical.
I mean, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, a donkey on a parachute is funnier than hell.
It's an animal being abused. I see an animal that's frightened to death, and I just don't find it funny.
You don't tell that WKRP when a turkey went flying, right?
Yeah, I've seen that one. That's funnier than hell. That may be the funniest thing that had ever been.
The funniest thing that ever been, what do you mean, on TV?
Maybe have ever been anything.
The fact that on WKRP in Cincinnati, the old TV show, they pushed turkeys out of a helicopter that couldn't fly, that's the funniest thing ever.
It's pretty classic.
You look it up, man. Everybody knows about it.
Yeah, I know it's a very famous episode. I personally don't know. I don't, call me weird, okay?
Man, there's a lot of people are going to go, why don't you take the pole out of your butt portion?
And why don't you shut up about polls, okay? I'll do your donkey story. Boy, Bud.
Yeah.
What?
Sounds like, hey, Bud wants to hear the donkey story. Woo!
I'm not talking about donkey show.
I wasn't either, but thank you very much for just broadcasting that. Anyway, parachuting donkey shocks Russian beachgoers. Well, I'm glad it shocked them. Here's some jagged jackass. Russian beachgoers got a shock when they saw a donkey soaring in the blue skies over the balmy beaches on the Sea of Azov in southern Russia last week, according to Politsia. Attached to a parachute, the animal screamed in fear for nearly 30 minutes. That's just the poor little donkey.
Oh, get out of here. No donkey knows about being afraid and everything.
I don't know, man. It's just the poor animal is up in the air. And this jackass... Anyway, attached to a parachute, the animal screamed in fear as it circled over the heads of holidaymakers sunbathing on a beach in the Cossack village of Golubutskaya. What do you mean, Cossack village? There ain't been no Cossacks around there in hundreds of years, or 100 years. And this is in the Krasnodar region, in case you're checking it on a map.
I'll go look it up.
Yeah, you do that, man. A regional police spokeswoman said the donkey ended up in the skies as a result of an impromptu advertising campaign by several Russian entrepreneurs to attract beachgoers to their private beach. Russian entrepreneurs. Instead, they attracted the attention of regional police who learned of the flying donkey earlier this week and launched a probe. The donkey screamed and children cried, according to regional police spokeswoman Larisa Tuchkova. No one had the brains to call the police. Really? Well, in any event, let's listen here as Kimberly Wells, an advisor with the Brook, a UK-based charity that helps working horses, donkeys, and mules, talks to the RTTV network about this animal abuse case there in Russia.
The animal went through quite a horrific event. I mean, donkeys are meant to be staying on land, and what we did see was an animal parasailing into the sky, landing in water, and being taken up to land, which is, you know, put the animal through a great deal of fear, distress, and potentially pain. This animal was suffering was captured on videos and photographs, and the way it spread through the media is really amazing. And I think what the public has done is create a demand, you know, for animals to be treated better and for people to pay attention.
Well, now this is Russia, and even this news story from AFP said that even in Russia, a country that is known for animal cruelty, or at least where it is widespread, even there it came as a shock to the locals, according to the Tama newspaper editor Elena Lovleva.
What's her name? Lovleva?
Yeah.
No, it ain't Lovleva. Elena Lovleva. I don't know how to pronounce that.
No, it's Lovleva. Lovleva.
Yeah, man, why don't you grab on that?
Will you guys shut up with... Anyway, this has never happened before, she told AFP. Yeah, right.
Probably happens all the time.
They've got donkeys flying through the air over there, man. It's about time somebody did something about it.
They probably got, like, that Donkey Express.
Donkey Express?
You mean like a Spaz Express.
Anyway, the footage of the parachuting donkey was aired on national television on Tuesday, and the people were flipping out, and the peach guard... Now, this one cop, this whatever the hell her name is, the regional police spokeswoman, she said nobody had the brains to call the police. Well, I don't know. That must be a story within a story. I love how they talk about people over there, huh? You think a cop over here could... Well, yeah, he could. If he was pissed off enough, yes, he could. But that just goes to show you, you know, what's going on in the world around here. You know, I mean, here is the United States, and we're used to things being done a certain way. And we think that this is kind of the way it is everywhere. No, it ain't, man. It's the rest of the world is psycho. It's freaking psycho, you know.
Well, I would... You think they got, a donkeys all over the place over there?
What do you mean, donkeys all over the place? Flying donkeys? I don't know. I bet you they've got a... You just saw... I just said it to you. This is a country where animal cruelty is widespread. Russia.
Yeah, but you gotta understand something, man. A Russian, man, they all, you know, like surf and fuel and all that.
I know about that.
What do you mean they surf?
Not surf, S-E-R-F.
A serf. It's a feudal type, not a slave. Serfs were part of a feudal society. You don't even know what that is, do you?
Well, no. Not necessarily I do.
You don't know what a feudal society is, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. A feudal society was the way Europe lived and much of the world lived many hundreds of years ago. And in a feudal society, the owner of the land, which could be a squire or a baron or some jazz like that, you know.
Well, I'm not familiar.
In any event, the people that worked on that land that were able to grow crops and eat some of those crops, but also they had to give most of it to the cat that owned the land, the baron or the squire or the knight or the whatever the hell the guy was.
Yeah.
They're called serfs.
Like my mom's talked about Bennett serf.
No, man, are you trying to be funny or something?
What do you mean Bennett serf?
I don't know.
Bud, shut up. This had got nothing to do with Bennett serf or surfing. I'm talking about S-E-R-F serfs. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you look on go on a Wikipedia, man, I'll tell you all about it.
I'll go over there.
Well, you go to Wikipedia, but go find something better than Wikipedia, man. Anyway, these are people that were like slaves, man. And every generation, if you were born on that land, that's where you lived and that's where you died. That was your life. That was life in medieval Europe. And it was life in Russia up until the Russian Revolution. I mean, up until the... early part of the 20th century, that's how people were living. So you can imagine a country that's not that far removed from feudalism. And Germany was the same way. That's why these countries had a very, very difficult transition to democracy. That was very hard for the people of Russia as well as Germany to even begin to grasp the idea of what I'm doing what now? You're going to vote, we're going to have candidates, and, you know, no, it doesn't work? No. No, it doesn't work. So they had to almost transition through a period of intense totalitarian leadership before they could grasp this whole democracy thing. Now they grasp it, and now getting this whole animal cruelty thing down. And can you imagine if Russia had it was a multiracial society like this one? That would be a whole thing. And then, like, women's rights, man, they got a long way to go, Jim.
You are trying to say they're like... not as good as we is. I mean, I don't disagree.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. They're not as good as we are. I'm not saying the people are... just the society they have is not as cool as ours.
Except, I just think it looks cool, that's all.
Well, you know what, Bud? If you want to go to a world where there's flying donkeys, then Russia's for you. 877-876-PHIL. Lindsay Lohan is going to go into jail for 14 days. Wesley Snipes is going to prison for 35 months, and the young lady, the lesbian, is getting $35,000 in Alabama from the prom. And we'll have all of that coming up for you. Our number 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm going to see a flying donkey.
Phil Hendry.
Hey, after the show, go on over to our website, philhendryshow.com. We always post a show log there on what we did on the show. And then tomorrow, you can download the audio. And you can also watch on demand our video if you missed most of it tonight, as well as a we'll update you on forthcoming podcasts that we're going to be doing on iTunes. Now, the big story really is it continues to be Mel Gibson, as far as I'm concerned, because I don't, Lindsay Lohan, this poor kid, you know, just go in, get well. But this Mel Gibson story is fascinating, not necessarily because I think he's crazy, although perhaps, and certainly sounds crazy. And it's not because I'm against this young lady, this Miss Grigoriva. What I find interesting about this story is that Radar Online is getting these tapes. RadarOnline.com. Ever heard of them? Well, you do now. You've heard of TMZ, right? Well, guess who's getting aced out of this story? Guess who's taking it up the giggy with a Wawa brush?
Yeah, TMZ. Harvey Levin's getting it in his giggy.
Nice one, man.
Well, he is.
It's true. TMZ, that used to be the big entertainment site, they're taking it in the shorts big on this story, man. Somebody has been leaking these tapes to Radar Online. Now, is it Grigoriva? Is it somebody in her camp? Did someone say, this is the best way to prejudice this case against Mel Gibson, that if the public gets wind of this stuff, they will demand that this man be put in the stock and you know, put out in the public square so we can throw rotten vegetables at him. What do they think people are going to think? How do they think this is going to favorably influence young Miss Grigoriva? Or was it just some gardener or a plumber or something that got a hold of him, or some guy that was, you know, redoing the jacuzzi and said, oh, look at these tapes. And he listened to him and he said, I'm going to sell these to Radar Online.
I think that's it, too.
You think so what?
I think probably a guy like that, you know.
Like a gardener, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So Bud votes for gardener. What do you think, Robert?
Oh, I think that probably somebody like her lawyer, man, you know.
Her lawyer? I mean, that sounds a little, her lawyer. Well, maybe.
Well, maybe not a lawyer, but public relations or something like that.
Lawyer, that's unethical. I think it was a gardener, or it could be a lawyer, but it's hard to fathom.
It's either the gardener or a lawyer, Bud says now.
Yeah, I noticed you're changing that.
I'm saying it could be a gardener, but it could be a lawyer, but that is very unethical.
For the gardener?
Well, for the gardener, yeah.
Are you listening to what you're saying, man?
Well, you asked me about it.
Yeah, man, well, how do you feel about either a gardener or a lawyer?
What do you mean the gardener, man? How'd the gardener get it? I mean, maybe a maid.
Well, whoever gets to get in the house.
Well, a gardener ain't, man. That's the cat that mows the lawn.
Oh, all right. Well, then what's the one that is in the house?
Like a maid or something.
That one.
A gardener. Anyway, Radar Online show, slow leak of shocking Mel Gibson tapes continued today with a bombshell recording that the gossip site claimed in the headline could destroy Mel. Well, look, the dude's lost his agent. The cat is losing all kinds of goodwill with the public. But he's rich. Anyway, the latest snippet of tape is from yet another argument between Gibson and his ex-girlfriend, Oksana Grigoriva, and it appears to provide further evidence that the Braveheart actor was physically abusive, as Grigoriva has alleged. You hit me and you hit her. She's referring to the couple's 9-month-old daughter. You need medication. Let's listen now to Mel Gibson as he tells Oksana Grigoriva that no one will believe her claims. No one's going to believe your claims that she says he hit her and the child.
Mel, you're imbalanced. There's something wrong with you. You need medication.
Shut up, you
cannot raise this child with this symptoms.
What?
You're acting as a crazy man right now. And you have been for many, many months. And you hit me and you hit her whilst she was in my hands. Mel, You're losing your mind. You need medication.
You need a kick up the ass for being a bitch, gold-digging whore with a son. And I want my child, and no one will believe you. So you.
That's probably changing there, Mel. He just said, I want my child and no one's going to believe you, so F you. I think that's probably out the window. Anyway, here Mel rails against Oksana for... Notice how we're calling him Mel. Here Mel rails against Oksana for hurting his masculinity.
And I'm not giving you my house and you can rot unless you crawl back, suck my and say you're sorry in that order. Do you understand me? You offend my my masculinity, my being, my soul. And you call me a sinner. You're a moving violation. If you get raped, it's your fault for showing up your fake like they're some special deal.
Are you crazy?
How much do they cost, those fakers?
Are you crazy?
You complain about mastitis? They're fake, baby. Come on, you got little bladders in there. You think I'm an idiot?
Here, Oksana says Mel was born with some chemical imbalance, making him insane.
You need to say a lot to assuage my insanity because you made me this way.
I didn't make you this way.
You did so.
You were born this way. And you yell and scream and threaten everybody around you. Everybody's pussyfitting around you because they're all scared out of you. But you pay...
You're a bunch of using like you. You're like every other...
You're paying them money, and they will never tell you the truth. They will never tell you the truth, who you are, because you're paying them money. Inclusive of your psychiatrist, who should send you to a neurologist because you are imbalanced and you need medication, and he's just taking your money.
Well, this chick is pretty smart, man.
I gotta say, she knows a lot about it.
What does she mean?
She's saying he's got a chemical imbalance. It's very, very possible if the cat just is, like, over the line like that, you know? Who's his psychiatrist? I want to find out, okay? Bud?
Yeah, I'll look it up right now.
And Robert, never mind. Anyway, Mel just wants to be thanked. That's what he says to her in this final clip.
You never even say thank you.
Yes, I have. Many times.
They say thank you every 5 damn minutes. And not call me mean. And not look at me sideways. Just suck my Dad, you boy, that's all you're good for. That's about all you're good at. That's better than music. You there?
Yeah, he's pretty whack, man. As you heard her say, you hit me, you hit our child. Mel, you're losing mind. You need medication. She says to Gibson on nearly the five-minute recording during which she repeatedly questions his mental state, while it has not been independently verified that the voices on the tapes are Gibson and Grigoriva, a spokesperson for the actor has not denied that his client is heard breathlessly screaming obscenities and hurling racial and sexist epithets at his ex on the recordings. Gibson has not made a statement on the tapes, and his spokesperson has offered a no comment. It's pretty crazy stuff, man. I'd love to find out who his doctor is, because you know what? She's not too far off.
Yeah, you know another thing that you were saying like the other day, too.
Yeah, you tell people what you said about it.
She's a Russian, man, Mel. She's a Russian, and Russians never give up. Russians never give up.
Yeah, this is bitching.
Well, I mean, it's not bitching. She's a Russian, and that means they keep coming at you, man. They dig in. They dig into the snow. They wait out the winter. And the next thing you know, they're going to have you encircled and you're going to die, man. You're going to be dying laying there in the blood-soaked snow. You know, seriously, the Russian people, they are hardy. You know, we talk about hardy and tough. Now, I'm not saying that, wow, you know, if we looked at their, DNA. But the fact they're a very hardy bunch of people, I wouldn't want to have some Russian chick coming after me.
Yeah, and they'll never give up, man. Like that one guy I read about in the news that time. The Mad Monk. You know that guy?
Yeah, I read about him. What was his name? Sputin or Spumum?
Yeah, his name was Spumum.
What do you mean Spumum? You mean Rasputin?
Yeah, that's it, Rasputin.
Yeah, they never could kill that guy. They tried and tried yet again, man. And man, they never killed that guy.
Well, the thing about Rasputin was, yeah, that cat was really hard, man. I mean, he was hardcore. The name of the psychiatrist isn't known yet.
What about Rasputin? What did he do?
Rasputin was this monk that lived at the turn of the century. He was very, very tight with the royal family of Russia. He was a Greek Orthodox monk that came out of the Siberia. He was a peasant, but he had a very, very powerful pull on the empress, Empress Alexandra, because she had a sick son. This little boy was a hemophiliac. And so she was, I guess we're running out of time, huh?
Well, I don't know about Spumum.
His name ain't Spumum, it's Rasputin. We'll be back, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Spumata.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I thought I would just flash back a little bit here. Here's one from Days of Yore.
Kick your f***ing ass! I want you off the f***ing set, you f***!
Sorry.
No, don't just be sorry. Think for one f***ing second. The f*** are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I f***ing walk around and rip that? No, shut the f*** up, Bruce. Do I want? No! No! Don't shut me up! Am I gonna walk around and rip your lights down in the middle of a scene? Then why the are you walking right through? Like this in the background. What the is it with you? What don't you understand? You got any idea about, hey, it's distracting having somebody walking up behind Bryce in the middle of the scene? Give me a answer. What don't you get about it?
That was Christian Bale. I forget when that was. Here's another piece
Look,
of that.
Look, gee, you have something to say to this?
I didn't see it happen.
Well, somebody should be watching and keeping an eye on him.
Fair enough.
This is the second time that he doesn't give a about what is going on in front of the camera.
All right?
All right? I'm trying to do a scene here and I'm going, why the Shane walking in there? What is he doing there? Do you understand my mind is not in the scene if you're doing that? Stay off the set, man. Right, let's go again.
And this is from February of 09.
Let's not take a minute. Let's go again. And let's not have you walking in.
All right, then.
I never had a DP behave like this. You don't understand what it's like working with actors. That's what that is.
No, that's
what that is, man. I'm telling you. I'm not asking. I'm telling you. You wouldn't have done that otherwise. I want to kick your ass. You know,
Christian,
shut up for
Christian,
a second, all right?
Christian, okay,
I'm going to go. Do you want me to go trash
Christian,
your lights?
Christian.
Do you want me to trash them? Then why are you trashing my scene?
I'm not trying to trash
you. You are trashing my scene.
Christian,
you do it one more time, and I ain't walking on this set if you're still hired. I'm serious.
Wow.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy, but I don't cut it when you're around like this on set.
Wow. All right. So, and then here's the last one.
Yeah, you might get it. He doesn't get it.
I get it.
You might.
I get it.
He does not get it.
And good adjustments.
Good adjustments.
Okay. For real.
Oh, yeah, that was one.
Get it.
No, I don't need any walking. He needs to stop walking.
I get that.
I ain't the one walking. Let's get Tom and put this back on. Let's go again. Seriously, man, you and me, we're done professionally.
Okay, great. So I was reminded of that. I was reminded of that when I was listening to...
And I'm not giving you my house, and you can rot!
All right. 877-876-PHIL, and frankly...
You heard the tape they done.
Some guy, and it was very funny, some cat put together Gibson and Bales, and there you have it. There you have it, you know. The only thing about that Bales tape I keep hearing is, stop, Christian. Stop. Guys are trying to handle him. And then I remember that good adjustments line. All right, now on to some good news. And the good news is they plugged that leak, that BP leak, man. So that's a beautiful thing. You know that. I know that. But guess what? Some jackass over at the Washington Post said that they doctored up a photo. Are you kidding me, man? There's two instances of some real stupid reporting. Every day we have an example of what we've often talked to you about, which is the desperation of certain elements in the media, given the fact that there is a media bloodletting going on. And the media bloodletting that is going on, essentially, is the stronger are consuming or destroying the weaker. That's happening right now in my industry. Broadcasting, internet, publishing, you know, all of these areas of communication, there is a cannibalizing, there is a tribal warfare taking place. There's a massacre and a slaughter on a scale that would be, well, it would be considered World War III were it being fought with real armaments. Newspapers are going belly up. Magazines are going out of business. Radio stations are losing business and going out of business. Broadcasting companies going out of business. Television is involved in this battle right now between these competing companies. Companies buying other companies, divesting themselves of other properties. And on the internet, of course, we just gave an example, Radar Online, TMZ, you know, everybody is trying to position themselves for the next big push. Companies like the Washington Post, companies like the New York Times, companies like the Los Angeles Times, these are all companies that are in rallying, you know, varying degrees of health. LA Times not doing so good. I can't, you know, I shouldn't say, but I can't imagine they're doing very well. I mean, they got nothing, man. They offer nothing. They don't even have a legacy over there that anybody can grab a hold of. And even the common man could say, oh, wow, the L.A. Times, I remember them from this and that. The Washington Post, everybody knows them as the Watergate newspaper. The New York Times is the New York Times. But when you got to start doing stuff like this, this is from a blog, and that's bad enough. Some jive ass by the name of John something or other, and he's got a blog called Your Mom or America Blog, something like that. Anyway, this jackball found two pictures of the monitors, the big telemonitors that are used by the BP technicians to monitor what's going on with the well. And apparently BP did some photo doctoring, not to cover up what was happening with the well, but to cover up the fact that they had some blank screens. So they did this. They moved the individuals in the photograph in such a way so as that they would cover up a blank screen. Or they would insert into the blank screen something that looked like it wasn't, you know, looked like there was some action going on. The point being, it was not a major cover-up of something horrific that was going on. It was simply the doctoring of a photograph so that they were not releasing something that looked, you know, empty. This is not Watergate. It's not Contragate. It ain't Irangate. It ain't Travelgate. It ain't Whitewater. It ain't nothing. It ain't no kind of gate, man. And we're living in a day and age right now where every jive ass who's got a blog, every jackball who's trying to keep his job at a newspaper is looking for the next gate. Well, there ain't no gate, man. Not yet. Not any you guys are going to find, that's for sure. I don't think there's a guy out there right now writing a blog. I don't think there's a guy out there right now reporting for a newspaper. I don't think there ain't a man among you who's got what it takes to uncover the next gate. Not when you guys are running around chasing crap like BP doctoring photos. And the thing that kills me, and it's very unfortunate, that was like one of the top stories today.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't even hear about it.
I showed you the picture, right?
Yeah, it's all that, yeah.
All right, that's one. Now, the other one is this story about Shirley Sherrod. I can't for love or money figure this one out, honest to God. Now, I know that there are a lot of people who are involved in politics to the point of a sexual turn-on. There are people who love their political allegiances more than they love their own wives and kids. There are people who are involved in different aspects of these different political movements. They're like addicts, you know. I'll tell you, the funniest thing in the world is to go on a website, like I did the other day, and it was a conservative website, but this could equally be true of liberals. And it was called Three Things You Should Know About Islam, and it was posted by a conservative. One of the first things that's said on this tape is that people only read and listen to news that they are comfortable with, because it makes them feel good and it helps reinforce their worldview. And I was thinking, the people that posted this, are they watching it? Because it speaks just as clearly of them as it does of anybody else. All right, here's the next story. NAACP snookered over video of former USDA employee who says White House forced her to resign. Now, this is a very, very simple story that was screwed up by Fox, by Breitbart, and maybe to some extent by the NAACP. But this stuff gets so soaked in ideology, you don't know what the hell's going on. So you need somebody who's going to explain it to you. And here it is. I'll lay this on you as clearly as I can, and I ain't lying, man. You can listen to this stuff. But people, I'll say it again. You know that the news anchor's lying to you. You know that. That goes without saying that the news anchor is lying to you. That the broadcaster is lying to you. You should know that. You should understand that. You talk about politicians lying to you. And everybody likes to talk about politicians lying, but I don't hear anybody saying, well, it's obvious to me that it's television, it's entertainment, they must be lying, because that's what's going on. Now, here's the story here about this charade. What happened was the woman was giving a talk, and this was in 1986. And she was telling the story of a farmer that she was helping when she was working in that aspect of public life. She was assisting a white farmer. And she talked about how this man, because he was a white man, she decided that she would just go ahead and get this guy a white lawyer. Because she figured that this guy was kind of lording it over her. That this guy was a white guy who was sort of lording it over her and wasn't going to pay her any mind anyway. And that she was, you know, not being treated well by him. But she figured out through the course of her relationship with this guy that it wasn't about his race. It was about the fact that he was a farmer, that he was trying to save his farm. And she got to know the man, and she got to know the woman, and she got to know the people. And she realized that, geez, you know, these people are worth working for. They're worth saving. And she went out. And she found another lawyer when this white lawyer wasn't doing the job. And she got these people to a point where they could save their farm. And she said in the course of this talk, I recognized that this was not about race, it was about class. Which I said during our pre-show, if that ain't the truth. Now, Breitbart, and I don't think much of Breitbart.com. Breitbart decides that this is an example of racism in the NAACP because she was giving this talk to the NAACP. She wasn't talking about being a racist against whites. She was talking about being a racist against whites and growing out of it when she got to know the people and the plight that they were involved in. It was almost like the story of, on a much smaller scale, the story of Malcolm X, who at one time was a black nationalist, separatist, white devil kind of a guy, until he recognized that there were Muslims who were as blue-eyed and blonde-haired as any white man he'd ever seen. And he realized that he had to reassess everything he'd ever known about white people. Here in the video that set off this controversy, Sherrod is heard saying she didn't help a white farmer as best as she could because there were black farmers in need of help. The quality of this audio is less than optimal, but we will try here. Now, unfortunately, that's all of this meeting that I've got. She went on to say that she got to know this man, and she decided she would help this man, and she would do her best for this man, because it was as she got to know him, she learned more about him. This was the process. Breitbart.com doesn't want to report that. Breitbart.com wants to say that this is a racist example of racism at an NAACP meeting. That's Breitbart. Fox, Bill O'Reilly, he doesn't want to report that because, well, it wouldn't work with Bill O'Reilly. He's got to report there's racism at the NAACP. Well, there wasn't any racism at the NAACP. The woman told a story that Breitbart didn't feel like we're telling you about. The NAACP claimed late today they were snookered by deceitful editing and that Sherrod's comments were out of context. Sherrod was mistaken to think in terms of just race, she said, instead of an in terms of poor versus rich. Now, the people at Breitbart aired this piece of tape too, but then because they're stupid, they said this was an example of racism. So, unfortunately, the story is this. Breitbart.com decided that this was an example of racism in the NAACP and reported it as such, even though after they got called on it by the NAACP, they decided to say, oh, well, here's an example of her saying, yes, I was educated by this experience and I learned to treat people better. Bill O'Reilly, he lies because he's on Fox, and CNN lies too. I don't even watch those two channels anymore because there's no truth coming from them anymore. I mean, there's not even a semblance of truth coming from them anymore. Fox and CNN both. But now Breitbart is involved in this, and I think it's because Breitbart, you know, Matt Drudge was Breitbart's boss. Breitbart hit the ball out of the park a couple times in a couple of stories, and now he thinks he's making news with this drivel. Same thing with his cat was going to bat for that punk that was trying to tap the phones of those people in Louisiana, whoever that jackass was, that guy that did the Acorn film, which was fine. That was okay. But then he goes and he tries to create news by busting into somebody's office and tapping the phone. I don't know what the hell that guy was doing. All I know is this. Anybody heard from him lately? No. I would suggest to you, Andrew, you're a nice guy. Be a little clearer, man, as to what it is you think you're doing. Are you here to report the news? Are you pushing the conservative agenda? I mean, I don't got no problem with that, man. Just tell me what it is you're trying to do, all right? And that way I can either work my way around or through your stuff. If you're telling me that the NAACP is racist and you give me an example of that by showing a woman who said she admitted herself she was being racist and she learned from her experience, that's not racism. That's a woman talking about a story of self-education, self-awareness. Oh, all right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, here's another poll for you. This is from the Daily Beast, the 10 gayest cities in America.
Uh-oh.
Take it easy, bud. The U.S. metropolitan region. What is going on with my microphone here tonight? Testing 1, 2, 3. Man, I got to pot this thing all the way up. What the hell is with this?
Here, let me try it.
Don't touch any of the knobs, man. Don't do it. The U.S. metropolitan region with the largest concentration of gay and lesbian people is San Francisco. Well, no kidding. That's not exactly news, but there are more than a few surprises in the Gay Lesbian Index's metro area rankings. This was developed by Gary Gates, a demographer at UCLA's Williams Institute. The Gay Lesbian Index value tells you how the proportion of same-sex couples among all households of a given metro area compares to the average for the entire United States. An index value of 2, for example, means that the proportion of same-sex couples in that area is twice that of the nation. Well, we're going to forego all of that horse dung. The idea that, actually, it's pretty easy to understand. It's the same-sex couples per 1,000, 12.4 in San Francisco, is twice that of the nation. So in San Francisco, it's 12 times that of the nation. The next most gay city in America, we took a few calls from folks in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, California, and they have 7 times as many gay couples as they do in the rest of the country. Portland and South Portland, Maine, and that is where our affiliate WZAN is. Same-sex couples, 7.4.
Is that why the Sopranos had that one fat guy go there?
The Sopranos had the fat guy
Yeah, Vito.
Oh, yeah, Vito. Oh, did Vito meet that guy there?
Yeah, I think so. Vito, when they found out he was gay, he took off and moved to an antique store.
Well, he didn't move to the antique store. He was in the antique store.
Well, that would be the antique store is where I found out that, yeah, he's home. That's a good place for him. And then the next day, he met that guy.
I thought he moved in there.
He didn't move into an antique store. That was a bed and breakfast he moved into.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was Vito, and he was gay, and poor Vito. Vito got killed by the guys because he was gay. But, yeah, and he met that guy up in New England someplace. Boston boasts, so that's that was Portland, South Portland in Maine, WZAN. One more town in Boston, WTKK is our affiliate there. Same-sex couples per 1,000 households, almost 7 per the national average. Boston boasts the largest lesbian community nationwide. 60% of the city's same-sex couples are women. And the number 5 is Seattle. Cairo Radio, same-sex couples per household, 6.7. There you have it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. What are you looking at?
Is that, you're just going to leave people hanging that way with all the gay areas?
Yeah, it's produced by Jason Rance, technical director Charles Wagon, and our screener was Dan Northcraft.
Phil.
Bye.
Hendry.